And I want to thank you this day for the faith that you have in me. You have never seen me, but you shall. But you keep going on day by day by day by faith, trusting and believing in my word. And now, my children, you shall see the miraculous. You have stood the test of time. You have held on to my hand when you thought there was no way you could ever make it another second. But you held on to my hand. And you cried out to me. Oh, your heart was wrenching. You were absorbed in the evil round about you. And you was crying for freedom. You wanted the light to break the darkness. And you cried and you cried and you cried. You see, I was there each and every time. I heard each and every word. And I am saying unto you this day, as you reached out to me, I was reaching out to you. And this day, I have taken your hand. And I'm going to lead you on a new path, a new journey. It is going to be full of expectation. And you will never for one second ever again wonder, was it worth it all? The honey is in the rock. I am with you. And as you reach up, I'm reaching down. And I am giving you all that you have asked for. Freedom in the rock. Total freedom in the rock. You shall do great and mighty exploits for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You shall tear down mountains that no other could ever tear down. You shall see walls tumble in people's lives. You will see the miraculous on all sides. Come to the honey right now. Come and receive all that I have for you in the honey. You do not have to leave this building dry this day. Drink deep right now. Drink deep of the richness of who I truly am. And keep it. Never give it up ever again. Hold fast. Hold fast what you have. But open your arms wide for what I have for you in the days ahead. Your praise this day has been music to my ears. Oh, I watched you. I watched you dance and rejoice before me. I watched you as you smiled. As you raised your hands, I watched over you, and I am so pleased. I am so pleased with each and every one of you. Thank you for not giving up, even when you wanted to. Thank you for holding on one more day, and then one more day. And then one more day. Thank you for trusting in a God who loves you. Thank you. Oh, you will climb the mountains. And you will stand on the mountaintops and you will shout victory after victory after victory. You will destroy the darkness around about you. You will bring many souls into my kingdom. For this is the appointed time for the great harvest to be brought in. This is the appointed time for the miraculous to begin. I can trust you. You have proven yourself faithful to me. Even when everything around about you is falling. Even when the enemy told you you would never make it. You stood the course and you held on tight. As you cried out to the Father, you cannot see. And you trusted in me. Now is the time for fruitfulness. Now is the time to bring forth all that you are in me. I weep over you many times. I weep because I'm so happy. I see you struggle as my son struggled when he had to bear the cross. I weep over you and I encourage you. And I want you to know this morning that enough is enough of darkness, and only light shall prevail around about you. All those who have come against you, I'm going to vindicate you. I'm going to show them that you've been my son, that you've been my daughter all these days. They will come and they will bow at your feet. They will ask forgiveness, and you must forgive, as my son forgave you of your many transgressions. Rejoice forever, my children. Continue to rejoice and show the world that it is worth it all, and that my son Jesus is worthy. Yeah, and God just keeps weeping, and he just keeps weeping. It's not because he's sad, but it's because he's happy. And he's weeping because you had to go through all the pain. You had to go through all the imprisonment. But you'd endured the cross. And you came forth this day. You crossed the Red Sea. You came into the fullness of everything that I promised you, my children. And there's no turning back. Absolutely no turning back for any of you in here this day. God's also saying that his son Jesus did not want to carry the cross, but he did anyway. He did not want to go through the suffering, but he did anyway. And now, children, you can see you did not want to bear your cross either, but you did anyway. And today, like my son, when he said it is finished, and he came and entered into the glory cloud, you have come into the glory cloud. And I have said it is finished. And now you can go forth rejoicing just as my son is. You have proven to the world that I am worthy. And the cross is not that heavy. Praise the Lord. If I was Brandon Lake, I'd say, yay! Our Father loves us so much. If you ever wonder how much he loves you, think about how much he has to tolerate from us when we get stupid. Some of us as parents can't tolerate our kids when they get stupid. But look how God tolerates us adults. Amen. New day, new beginnings, God said. New era, we crossed over. I was sitting at home last night when I got home, and God told me to put this New Year sign up. And then he said, "Put, we've crossed over." So God knows all things. And I don't care if you think you crossed over or not. God says we've crossed over. And I don't know about you, but that's good enough for me. When my father tells me something, that's good enough for me. I'm glad to see you all got out of bed this morning and yawned your way to church and got dressed first, of course. Aren't you glad you came into the house of the Lord? Do you understand how much he really does love this little church? We might not be special in each other's eyes, but we're special in the eyes of God. And we're truly loved. Did you hear Brother Chris try to get in competition with the chauffeur this morning? He blew his nose. He's out in the spirit so I can talk about him, all right? Did you really leave 22 behind and step into 23? And I don't want you fussing about anything that anybody did to you in 22 or all the years leading up to that. We're in a new year, new day. And I don't know about you, but I'm excited to see what God's going to do with us this year. Vindication sounded really good to me when he said that. How many of you know you would really like to be vindicated about some things? Let the people see the truth, that the truth really is. Well, Father God, we thank you for meeting us here this day. And I look around and I see those, Father God, who it was a challenge for them to get up and come into the house of the Lord, but that's what they did. And I'm asking, Father God, for a special blessing upon them. Let this be a year they'll never forget, Father. And I hear you keep saying newness of life. All right, Father God, we are brand new in you. All the old has gone away, and everything is brand new. We start with a fresh new beginning, because that's what you're saying. And we thank you for not wiping 22 under the rug, but you brought everything out into the open so we could deal with it and go into 23 fresh and clean. Father, we make a covenant with you this day that we're going to hold our head high and we're going to keep telling about your Son Jesus and all your love. And we're going to work in bringing the lost into the house of the Lord. And we thank you for this day, Father, in Jesus' holy, mighty name. Amen. How many of you can say this was one of the best Christmases that you've had? You know, we took in a family and they needed clothes and everything, and we did that. We also gave them food. And the husband said, "This is the first Christmas I've had since I've been 14 years old." And he was all dressed up with all the clothes that y'all sent to him. And he wore those clothes as soon as he'd gone the night before, slept in them, and then got up Christmas morning still rejoicing that he had a Christmas where he could open presents. And I'm telling you that to just thank you for opening up your hearts in your wallets and giving to somebody you didn't even know. The whole family really said to thank you. So we're doing that. All right. God said we're going to go into 2023 with resurrection power. So this is what God told me. What is resurrection power? Resurrection power is the raising from the dead. This is a year that my children are coming alive in every area of their lives. My children shall rise up with wings of angels, and they shall go forth defeating the enemy on every side. Read that again. This is God speaking. What is resurrection power? Resurrection power is a raising from the dead. This is the year that my children are coming alive in every area of their lives. My children shall rise up with wings of angels, and they shall go forth, defeating the enemy on every side. And you can reference that to Philippians 3:7-10. Then God says, compromise has ended. They know their strength in me. They know the power they have through me. They understand, and I have given them, that I have given them all power and all authority, and no longer will the enemy cause them to back down in doubt and unbelief. Some have already proclaimed the sky is the limit, and they have gone forth leaping, dancing, and rejoicing in a mighty God in the giftings they have been given. And I hope that some of you in here this morning. God said, you shall see great signs, wonders, and miracles, and the greater works being accomplished all across this land. You shall see victory on all sides like never before. This is wonderful. This is rejoicing news. Amen. You shall hear them sing loud and clear. The king is coming. He comes riding on his white horse to gather his children on home. That's Revelation 1:7 and Revelation 19:11-21. Let's read that again. It's talking about you guys, or us guys. You shall hear them sing loud and clear, the king is coming. He comes riding on his white horse to gather his children on home. The bridegroom is gathering his bride, and they shall ride the waves of glory to every corner of the earth. And that's in John 3. You can find that in John 3:29. Then he said, politics will no longer sidetrack my chosen bride, for they know I have everything under control, and their assignment is to bring in the harvest at all costs. Speaking of cost, you have already considered the cost, and you have already placed your hand to the plow, and you have already decided nothing is going to deter you from the path I have placed your feet upon. Find that in Luke 14:28. I know some in here, you've given up your families. You've chosen God over your families. And for that, God is going to bless you abundantly. So whatever you gave up to follow Christ, you're going to find out it's worth it all in the end. Paul and Silas sang praises to the king, is God speaking. Paul and Silas sang praises to the king, and you shall do the very same thing. You will no longer complain about the assignments, for you have already died to self and have come forth victorious on all sides. You find that in Acts 16:25-34. Paul and Silas, I want you to get this into your spirit. Paul and Silas sang praises to the king, and you shall do the very same thing. You will no longer complain about the assignments. I want to stress that point. Amen. And then he says, for you have already died to yourself and come forth victorious on all sides. So whatever those things there were that were distracting you, you already have victory over them. God said, so where the enemy thought he had you cornered, he will see I have removed the corners, and you stand free and victorious, tearing down his strongholds of darkness. You shall see human trafficking abolished. You shall see the drug lords taken down. And you shall see a renewal of faith in the young generation of warriors that I have called forth for this given battle. Did you notice last night how many young people were in the house of God? A seed was planted in so many hearts last night, or this morning, or whenever. And we're going to see a great influx of young people come into the house of God, because God is already working on their hearts, and he's already worked on the young generation leaders so that they can minister to these young people. All right, these are the ones These are the ones spoken of in Joel, and they shall surely tear down the strongholds of darkness, and they shall stand their ground with swords drawn and ready for battle. And that's in Joel chapter 2. Yeah, the anointing of God is really strong in here this morning, but I want you young guys to understand that God is in control of your lives, and He really is going to use you all to do a mighty works for Him. He's bypassing the older generation because the older generation's already let God see, I don't want you. I'm content just to sit here and do nothing. I'll throw my tithe in a little basket, but I don't want to do any work. I just want to go to heaven one day. Well, this is not our assignment on this earth. Our assignment is to do a great mighty works for the Father. Now, He didn't throw all of us a sign. Us older people, he has to keep some of us here so we can guide you younger people, because from what God's been showing me, you're going to go crazy. You know, so we have to sort of keep you reined in a little bit anyhow. You know, even as you fight the enemy, rein you in. God said, children, don't you see what has happened? The appointed time has come upon the church, the time to destroy darkness and bring forth my marvelous light. This could not have happened at any other time in church history. I had this set time already in motion before it ever began. See that? My mighty warriors have come forth carrying the banner of victory. This banner has been brought forth because of the cries of the prayers of the saints. Find that in Psalm 102:13. Us warriors, God said, have come forth carrying a banner of victory, not defeat. And every place we go, we're going to see victory on all sides. And, you know, the enemy's going to have to bow. He's going to have to bow his knees. Because God said he's finished. You know, the enemy's finished in our lives. The remnant church will be resurrected in this year, 2023. There will no longer be places of dryness. For I am dropping my glory in all of its fullness. And that glory brings with it all of heaven with a miraculous working non-stop. Non-stop. We're going to walk in miracles all the time. I'm excited because in the 80s when God first called me, that's what I did. I walked into miracles all the time. And this has been a really dry season for me. And guys, you can raise the dead. That can be done. I mean, literally dead in heaven, even dead. As you pray, as you seek God's face, you can raise the dead. All right? I've been there. I've done that. So if we're going to walk into miraculous like God said, then in the 80s, he was doing the same thing. And so you can do it. I don't care who you are. You can do it. I told Brother Chris, if I die, don't let me be stay dead. You raise me back up. And if he doesn't, I will haunt him. Amen. All right, God said, those that have glory fever, we all have glory fever, don't we? We want the glory to drop so bad. All those that have glory fever will finally be filled to overflowing with my spirit. See that? Those things they have desired to accomplish will happen in a heartbeat. No longer will you wait 2 or 3 years for your miracle. I am standing guard over my word, and I am ready to perform it the instant it leaves your lips. And all night last night, you know, as I was sitting home praying and just thinking about what God's taken us into, I kept hearing that my children have healing in their hands. All they have to do is release it. And as you release it, know that with surety of heart, no doubt in your heart whatsoever, that God is going to do the healing. All right. It's already there. We just have to walk in it. You know, and I thought last night God was going to use that, but he didn't use it. So in God's timing, you know, whatever he tells me to do, I will do. But I'm telling you tonight, this morning, that God told me last night, you guys do have healing in your hands. So wherever you go, just pray, just believe. You know, but you have to believe. You have to really believe God's word. You have to believe you do have the healing powers. And then just because God told me one time, whatever I set my hands to do, he would do. So if I reach out and say, Nancy, you're healed in Jesus' name, he's going to heal you. I don't have to touch you. Do you understand this? I remember one time Larry, he standing here at the altar doing something. He walked away and I said, oh, by the way, your back's healed. In his back, and God touched him, his back was healed. This is just, you know, stuff like this. You don't have to touch them. You don't have to get a testimony from them. It's you and God working your faith. I didn't know he had a bad back. That was just God just telling him his back was healed. Are you ready to do that? Are you really ready just to go forth and release that faith that you know that you have? And God has told many of you that you have healing in your hands. Then use them. You don't even have to say a word. You just walk by somebody, just touch them and just say, hi, how are you? Or just don't say nothing. And the healing that's in your hands will go through them and they will be healed. And this is where God has us today. He wants us to get this in our spirit today because there's so much sickness out there in the land. Amen. Somebody said to me last week, your hands are always so hot. Why are your hands hot? And I said, I don't know, but I know it's a fire of God. And at any time I want to lay my hands on somebody, God is going to do the works. Amen. Jeremiah 1:12 says, then said the Lord to me, you have seen well, for I am alert and active, watching over my word to perform it. And I put that in there because God said, I'm standing guard over my word, and I am ready to perform it the instant it leaves your lips. I have waited for God said, I have waited for this time frame, and like you, I have been anticipating great and powerful events to occur overnight. And I thought that was strange for God to say that, but I tried to take it out, and he wouldn't take it back. So I have waited for this time frame, and like you, I have been anticipating great and powerful events to occur overnight. What the prophets of old wanted to see, you will see. You must understand that this is a final thrust before the coming of the bridegroom. He has already started to gather in his bride. All right, God said that we're going to see what the prophets of old wanted to see. If you read it and read your Bible, know your Bible, the prophets of old wanted to see the Messiah, right? And so everything that the people who died before us wanted to see, we are now going to see. It's going to be such an exciting time. We have so much to be thankful for. And we should be living in that victory and in that thankfulness every day. We're special. This group of people, you know, I'm talking about not this just church, but this generation of people are really special people. And they're going to see things that the church has not seen. That should make you shout. Amen. Then God says, listen intently in this year of 2023, and you shall hear the angel choir singing over you. You will see angelic beings, and you will have angelic visitations over and over again. What do you think of that? Amen. God said, this is a year of jubilee. I have appointed to show my people that I am a triune God and all things are possible through me. All those things that we think are not possible, and I say that because when you walk in doubt and unbelief, you're telling God that everything is not possible. So God is saying, all things are possible. So instead of you praying with doubt and unbelief, like you're praying, I don't know if this is going to happen or not. That's the wrong way to pray. You need to pray, I just know that I know that I know that this is going to happen. We haven't been doing that. And God wants to encourage your body of Christ to pray differently. Amen. All of heaven has been rejoicing for this time in church history. Many that have gone before you are cheering you on, telling you, you can make it. And when God said that, you know, my mother, when she passed away, she always sat right there where Kirsten's sitting. And one day, you know, I would miss my mother very much, and I was having a hard time a couple of years after she passed. And my mother appeared there, and she said, you can make it, and smiled. Then she left again. And after years passed, my father, I heard his voice, said, you can make this. Pull yourself up and keep on going. So you have people up in heaven who have gone before you saying, come on, you can make it. They know you can make it because they're sitting in heavenly places. Amen. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2 says about the great cloud of witnesses. Do you see what this means? All these pioneers who blazed away, all these veterans cheering us on, it means we'd better get on with it, strip down, start running, and never quit. No extra spiritual fat, no parasitic sins. I used the message because it just you could just understand it more. You know, our guys are up here saying, quit your dumbness and just keep going. You can make this, you know. And verse 2 says, keep your eyes on Jesus, who both began and finished this race we're in. Study how he did it, because he never lost sight of where he was headed, and that's been the church's problem. That accelerating finish in and with God, he could put up with anything along the way, and we don't do that. He put up with the cross, the shame, whatever, and now he's there in the place of honor right alongside God. Come on, we can put up with more than what we've been putting up with. Well, we really, you know what God says, we're just not going to care what the devil says, thinks, or does. We're just going to act like he's not there and shove him aside and just do a great and mighty exploit for the Lord. Isn't that what God's telling us? Just as you are taking steps of obedience now, the bleachers of heaven are filled with people who have already faced the enemy and won their fight. They faced the impossible, they accomplished the unthinkable, and they stand as proof that you can take it also. They're all cheering you on to victory. Just listen with the ears of faith, and you'll hear them saying, go for it, you can do it. Your faith will carry you through. Now, you know, being a pastor, you being anybody that follows God, you go through a lot of tribulations. And one time when I was going through a really hard time, God opened up the heavens and I saw a football stadium and all my loved ones were there. They had these little flags, you know, and they, you can do it, come on, you can do it. And they called me Jimmy, come on, Jimmy, you can do it. And, you know, they were just cheering me on. And it wasn't too long after that that I read a book by Robert Sheridan, where he went to heaven, and he said there's such a thing in heaven, a football stadium with all of our loved ones there cheering us on. So if you have a loved one that went before you, they see you victorious. They don't see you defeated. And they're cheering you on. Come on, you can do this thing. It's not all that hard. Get your eyes back on the cross and get your eyes off the problem. How many of you have to tell yourself that every day? You know, you have to tell yourself, come on, you can do this. If you couldn't do it, God wouldn't ask you to do it. You are more than you think you are. You're stronger than you think you are. We listen to the enemy too much. And then God said, children, get ready for the great awakening that is on the way. Be instant in season and out of season. You find that in 2 Timothy 4, 2 and 4. Never for one instant think I will not accomplish all that I said I would do. I am on the move. Make sure you're moving with me. And this is the point God's trying to get across this morning. Are you moving with him? Are you young people moving with God? I'm excited with you young kids. I really am. I'm so glad some of you came in here and sat in here, you know, and listened to what God had to say, because you are the ones that are going to go forth and bring others into the house of God. You are the ones that are going to minister to them, you know, and teach them of God's ways. Now, yesterday when Brother Aaron did his teaching, I was so proud. He has come so far. He did so good with his teaching. So if you look at him, you can see that's a person that's grown. If you know him when he first came here, you would say that's the same person. Yes, it's the same person, except they're grown up in Christ, right? And you know, and as I look around, I'm like a mother chicken. I'm so proud of you guys because you have really grown up. You've come a long way. And you're what's kept me moving. Whenever I wanted to quit, I said, God, these people still need me. You know, they still need me. You know, and then I stay, and you guys, you just grow, and you grow, and you make me so happy, and you make me ashamed of myself, too, that I wanted to quit. And see, this is how you'll feel when God gives you a flock. You know, you just, I mean, you get a flock and not be a pastor, you know, and you'll just feel so proud, and look what God used me to do. I didn't do it. God did it, but I was a vessel. He has to have a vessel to work through. So I want you guys to be encouraged, because you are vessels of honor that God is going to work through. And I'm really, really chomping at the bits. I just can't wait to see what God's going to do with all those four girls there. You know? And you know, and any other young person that wants to join in with them. But I know that God's really been grooming them. He's been grooming a couple others too, but they're still trying to decide, do I want to be groomed? Or am I content where I'm at? But God says he's on the move. Are you moving with him? God doesn't want any stalemates, whatever that is. You know, just heard it, so I said it. He doesn't want us to be stale. He wants to be fresh. He wants every day we need to be fresh and vibrant. You know, it doesn't matter who comes to the door, who you meet on the road. They need to see the joy of the Lord in you. If you notice how many young people are being killed right now, every time I read it, I think, God, were they a vessel that you were going to use? And the enemy wiped them out before you could use them. Because I don't know about you, but it's really strange how young people are being killed right now. And I've never read about that before. But every day. And I know it's the enemy taking out God's chosen. We have to stop that. We have to be praying against what the enemy's doing to the young people. And we have to see victory on all sides. We can do that with our prayers. Every time I see something like that, I weep. It just comes. And then I pray for God to really intervene and stop the enemy in his tracks so he can no longer kill our young people. And I think I read somewhere the other day where God said that Satan's after our young people to try to steal them before he can use them. You young people, you need to keep yourself covered with the blood. Because you never know what the enemy has up his sleeve to destroy you. And as parents, we need to keep our children covered with the blood. We need to keep them encompassed in this circle that God has them to be in. If we don't do it, who's going to do it? God told me one time, if you don't love your children, who's going to love them? If you don't love them, the world will. And you know the world will destroy them. Because a pastor told me I should just drop one of my children, and I went home crying. I said, God, how can I do that? He said, you can't. They need you. So, you know, I don't care who tells you to drop your children. God's saying they are your children. They are his children that he gave to you to raise. And one day when you stand before God, you're going to be held accountable for how you raised them. Train a child up in the ways they should go, and they know shall not depart from it. And, you know, you read that scripture, and you know what you've done, but then you see what they're doing, and you say, God, I did the best I could. God's not blaming you for that. Did you train them up in the ways that they should go? Did you give them a good example of what Christ is all about? Just think about that. Is some part of their failure you? Did you not do what was right? And we do, you know, if we don't know, we don't know, do we? A lot of things we do is in ignorance, right? And God's not going to hold you accountable for that either. But once you start reading your word and once you get in front of God, then he expects you to change. And as you change, your children are going to watch you change. But there's some children who can't forgive their parents for making a mistake. Are you listening? You don't know what caused your parents to do what they're doing. You don't. And you aren't dead yet either. So if I was you, I wouldn't judge my parent too harshly. I would be praying for them and giving them to God. How do you know they might be a prodigal that God's going to bring into the house of God? An example is myself. My mother had six children trying to raise us herself during the Depression, and it was very hard. She doing the best she could, and somehow reported her to the state. The state come and took all of us children from her, all six of us. We were just put in foster home or wherever they felt like throwing us. Nobody wanted me, so I had no place to go. Isn't that awful? Nobody wanted me. But anyhow, my sisters always hated my mother, and they died hating her. I could never hate her because I don't know why I did know why she did what she did. I mean, she didn't do nothing. She was trying to raise us. So why should I hate a woman who was trying to raise us? She held down two jobs, but she just couldn't do it. But God took care of me. As I've been working since I've been 10 years old, you know, because I had to keep myself. Don't hate your parents. You don't see behind the scenes. I just happen to be wise enough to know what was going on. You can't see behind the scenes. You don't know what's going on. You don't know why they did what they did. I think it's time we start praying and asking God, what really happened? Really, it's none of your business. You're supposed to love your parents according to the Bible, right? Let's quit hate and let's start loving. I didn't say you had to go live with your parents. I said, let's quit hating them. Let's just walk in the love that God has for us. So God is on the move. And he's loving us through every storm. Are you on the move with him, and are you loving all those around about you the way God wants you to? And God is saying that the horses are at the gate and the whistle's ready to blow and the gate's ready to open. Are you ready to run with the horses? Are you ready to run with God and do the great and mighty things he has written in your book that you should do? Are you ready? If you're ready for that, I want you to come up the altar this morning. Because God wants to give you a special touch.